Welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, March 31st, 2026. I am really happy to be here today. Happy to talk to you. I've got a lot to talk about. So I'm jazzed about that. But I just want to wish you happy April. April's tomorrow. No fooling. Ha ha. A happy full moon tomorrow, happy Passover. Passover begins tomorrow night. Happy Easter this Sunday. And I have to wish a happy birthday to my brother whose birthday is Friday. So what a week, what a busy, busy, energy packed week. But it's just, I just feel so much momentum, you know, that springtime momentum, which is what spring is. It just is. That's what it is. And, you know, although spring officially started a couple weeks ago, I think the 20th, something like that, of March, Easter has always been the unofficial beginning of spring, at least, you know, from the way I was raised as a kid, as a Catholic kid. So time to bring out your white shoes. It's official. You can wear your white shoes again as of Easter and change your closet around and do all that kind of stuff. So just to get started, I like to make, like in the spring and fall, I make like master lists of what needs to be, what I need to do or what needs to be done around the house. And because I always do spring cleaning and I do a fall cleaning, and they're just sort of the way, they're just like really lovely transitions for me into the season. Because from winter to spring, that's a big change in seasons, right? And from summer to fall, that's a big change in season. You know, summer basically just follows spring and winter follows fall. But spring and fall are big. They're like doorways into different energy, totally different energy. So I was doing my big project list for spring. And the outside stuff I need to, the outside things that need to be done are, you know, three main things. I need to get the yard cleaned up, the spring cleanup for the yard. I need to get all the sprinklers tested. Last year, I went through this whole thing of, oh, I'm just going to go out and water my lawn, you know, with the hose and a manual sprinkler. And I'm just going to do that. And I just made a commitment to do that last summer. And I did it through the whole summer. And basically maybe a month into it, the romance was over. It was just over. But the reason why I decided to do that was not only because, well, that's a cool kind of meditation thing. And I had done new garden beds and stuff. So it was just all part of that cool, lovely spring energy. That really starts to waver when the heat of the summer comes in. But it was just, I'm glad I did it. You know, I'm glad I did it. But the other reason I did it was because Scott, my nephew, who does a bunch of stuff for me, wasn't available to get the sprinklers going. And I don't have a plumbed sprinkler system. It's operated from it's got a manual operator from the hose bed, or I'm sorry, the hose bib. So it plugs up to the hose bib outside, and then it runs from that. And it's not a manual. I don't have to go out and start it. It starts automatically, but it's not a plumbed system. So it still is, you know, has the hoses that run through the tubing that runs through the yard and stuff. And he was so busy last spring that he didn't have time to do it. And I wasn't going to ask him because I knew how busy he was. So I thought, it's fine. I'll just get good sprinklers. And I did. They were good sprinkler heads. And I did it myself. So this year, number one on the list is get the sprinklers tested and get them operational, so that they are the most efficient that they can be, so that they're really hitting what needs to be hit in the yard and the beds, and not overspraying, and everything in working order, and changing them out so that the heads are the right heads for what they need to do. And so I asked him if he could do it, and he was able to. So that was number one. Number two is actually having the yard cleanup done. Because that that needs to follow the sprinklers because he's, you know, he's been working on it and taking out a bunch of extra hose that was in there, the drip lines and stuff. And I mean, it was everything, you know, everything turns out to be a bigger job than it is. And I don't mean just because it's, well, for me, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, I can do that. And, you know, he can do that in a day. Right. You know, I just assume it, never make assumptions. Well, that was the third, you know, that's the third agreement. That should be fresh in my mind. But anyway, so, and the reason too is because for the water and the hoses is we are on water restrictions. So we're limited to two watering days a week and to be really careful with sprinkler systems. So anyway, that was the first thing. The second thing was the cleanup, and that's always dirty and dusty and, you know, just getting the yard ready for summer, or for spring. And then the third thing and the last thing, and I learned this is the last thing you want to have done, and you want to have it done after the yard cleanup, is to have the windows washed outside and inside. So those are the three big things. And they were all, you know, one was waiting for the first one to be done. And I'll talk more about that in the teaching segment. But those were the three big outside things. Inside, you know, spring cleaning, changing closets around, changing tablecloths and pillows, and just lightening things up after winter. And, you know, the sprinkler and yard cleanup will be done this week. And I kept thinking, while that was being done, I could start the cleaning part. I could start doing that. But I've had just zero motivation to do it. I'd love to do my spring cleaning. Like, really, it is a ritual and a meditation to do my spring cleaning. But until the yard stuff's done, it doesn't make sense. Because every time you open the door, dust blows in or leaf fragments or something. So it, you know, I'll wait. I'll know when it's time. And when it's time, I will have my inspiration to do it. But I also love changing closets and just going through stuff. And spring and fall are great opportunities for clutter clearing and for, you know, energizing your home. Because just the act of doing that cleaning is you're giving focused attention. And attention is love. To things that you may not touch on a regular basis. You know, you may walk by them all the time. You maybe have a china cabinet or things on a shelf, or, you know, just tablecloths, you know, things like that. You don't touch them on a regular basis, but you do when you do spring cleaning, when you really go through and you infuse everything that you love with your love and your appreciation, and the things that you don't love, you know, you're able to pass on to someone who will love them. So it's a great opportunity to release the things and energy, because I don't know about you, I think maybe you can relate to this, but for me, doing like that seasonal cleaning, I have things that are very, very special to me that were given me by my grandmother, or belong to my grandmother, or even great-grandmother. And so when I'm working on them, they just bring back memories. It's kind of like decorating a Christmas tree, you know, and each ornament that you have, if you've had it for a while, just brings back a memory or a time in your life. And so it really is a great opportunity, because there are things that may not bring back wonderful memories that you still love and that you are keeping, but it's an opportunity to look at those and look at your emotions and release those, as well as releasing objects. So, you know, it's just a great opportunity to release the things and energy that are not serving you, and empower with your love and attention and cleanliness, you know, the things that are. So, it is really spring now, and I plan on taking full advantage of it. But anyway, thank you again for being here. This show is live on 12radio.com and streaming on YouTube. If you'd like to join the chat, just go to 12radio.com, click chat, and then click the, you can go on to YouTube from there by clicking the YouTube link posted under my banner. But you can also subscribe to my YouTube channel, which is www.youtube.com/@KellyW1850. I don't do readings on the show, but if you'd like a reading or healing from me, you can find me every day on 12listen.com. Usually available later morning Pacific into the evening. If you stop by and I happen to be busy, just schedule a call, put in a call, or put in a call back request. I'm notified immediately and we'll get back to you as soon as I possibly can. And I'll always do my best to meet your schedule. We do have reduced rates on calls and chats on 12listen.com a few days a week, typically Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, and of course the 12th of each month, 12 day and different astrological events will have sales. So if you want to be notified of our specials or our sales, just go to 12listen.com and sign up for 12 promotions. And while you're there, you can post what you're grateful for on the gratitude board. My Welcome Spring 15-minute time-based session is still available and will be available throughout spring. And it basically is, as I said, spring symbolizes new beginnings. Everything is coming back to life. Everything. And we can use that metaphor, the metaphor of spring and new life, to again release the limitations and you know, limiting beliefs and energy that we carry around with us so that we can be available for new opportunities, for new beginnings. Because we only have so much space in our space being our consciousness. And so it's important to release the things that do not serve you from your consciousness, as in limiting beliefs, opinions, that kind of thing. So that you're open and available for new things. It's like a closet. You got to move clothes that you don't wear out in order to put new clothes in. Same concept. Anyway, it's a good healing session. And I just want to say thanks again for listening however and whenever you do. There is programming on 12Radio 24/7. There are archives of all of the shows from all of the hosts in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. You can download them anytime you want, and I encourage you to do so. 12Radio is a great source of inspiration, information, and support, and a lot of different voices and a lot of different passions. So please take advantage. It'll be worth your while. I just want to say thanks to Serena for producing the show today. And we're going to move into the teaching segment by listening to a song called Mystical Morning. This is by Gandalf. It's from the Celtic Lounge 3 CD and Sequoia Records. It's just another springy song. So enjoy it. And I will be back right after. Thanks again for being here. You're listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed our musical segue. And, but like I said, that music just sounds like spring to me. It's just like light and uplifting and kind of green, you know, probably why it was on the Celtic Lounge CD. But today I want to talk about one of my very favorite subjects, supply. Supply is just, I could talk about supply every day, all day, because it's just a phenomenal topic. But supply, a lot of times when you think of supply, we think of money, you know, money that we need. But supply really is so much broader than that. Supply is what you need when you need it. Whether that is an idea, somebody to help you do something, an answer to a question, or, you know, a problem, a solution to a problem. I mean, it is what you need when you need it. So it can be just a little tiny thing that that comes along, a little blessing, and you go, oh, you know, I needed that. That was perfect. That was just perfect. For me, a great thing that happens to me all the time is like when I'm working and I'm really in flow, I think flow is supply. Flow and supply are synonymous. So I'll be working and I'll have something that I want to finish, like, for example, writing my show, you know, getting it together. And I'll get to a place where I stop, and I'm online every day. So I'm online for calls while I'm writing my show or doing whatever I'm doing. And the minute I get to a stopping place, the phone rings and a call comes in. or I need to, my famous thing, if I'm stuck and I'm stuck for an idea or the next thing to write, you know, you need to walk away for a minute. I'll go clean the bathroom, you know, or go make a cup of tea. Well, as soon as I'm done with the cup of tea, I'll get back and bing, here's my idea. You know, here's my next step, how I follow what I had just written. So that is supply. That is supply. What I need when I need it. And that's what it is. And there is no small supply, because it is all just spiritual support. Because supply is spiritual. Joel Goldsmith said, supply is my awareness of God in the midst of me. Supply is my awareness of God in the midst of me. And so being in flow with your intuition, with just, you know, checking in, you know, in this moment, what am I called to do? If you have a stopping place, okay, in this moment, what am I called to do? And then follow that, whatever your green light lights up to do, and also follow your red light. You know, if you're pushing, if you're trying to do something and it's just not working, it's just not working. And so you can continue to push and get frustrated, or you can detach and walk away for a few minutes. Go do something completely different. Clear your head, clear your energy. And then pretty soon you're just back in that flow. Well, last week for me was just an incredible week of being in flow and just watching that supply show up for me constantly. Joel not only said supply is my awareness of God in the midst of me, but he also said, and if God is infinite love, all-knowing, omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent, and God is the self of every man, then we don't need to tell God anything or ask for anything. We don't. And that's another part of that flow. It's like you get on that groove and you just wait and see what's going to show up next. Or you're not even waiting. It's just showing up because you're not interfering. You know, Reverend Ike said, creation is finished. God has nothing more to give us. And you know, God is not a withholding God. The kingdom of heaven, the infinite storehouse, is within us. Pardon me. And it contains everything we could possibly need or want. And capital A-N-D, every good desire to be more, have more, do more, know more, and give more is given us by God, who becomes more of itself through us. God is, and experiences the physical as man. So, as Joel said, we have only one demonstration to make, and that is God. Jesus said, "Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or drink, or wherewithal you shall be clothed. Your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." They're the added things. So we have everything. We have everything. Nothing comes to us from the outside, but comes through us from the infinite kingdom of heaven within, through our demonstration of the infinite self. And I think, for me personally, the three things to concentrate on, or I think there's four things, in demonstrating the infinite self, the only demonstration to make is God, right? So how do we do that? Just thinking logically, not solely in the terms of flow, but what do we know to do? Every good thing that we do is God expressing as us. So demonstrating through love, giving, service, and resting. And resting is when we detach and just let go and rest in the arms of Spirit. And we do what we know to do, to love, to give, to be of service, and in whatever way that is, and then just to rest in it. That's faith. Faith is the resting part, you know? That's when we know we're taken care of, and we know we are always provided for. On a tape by Joel Goldsmith called The Self, I want to share some of that with you, because he explains supply perfectly. He said, "There is one self, that which unites me with you, and that which is living my life and yours. Since God is the self of us, then my supply is already established within me. And from this moment on, I must not look externally for supply. I must not look to it to come to me. I must begin to live with the idea that it is already at the center of my being, and that I am opening out a way for it to flow. That is the first step. I don't forgive. God does. Forgiveness flows through me to others. I just let it happen. That takes all the pressure off. Every demand made on us is made on God, the source of supply. We are the transfer agent or instrument. Whether it is forgiveness or money or love, we don't possess those qualities. But knowing God to be the self, and all that God is stored up in me, I have to open out a way. It flows out from us and back to us. We are the inlet and outlet of supply. Whatever flows out from you doesn't lessen that which you have." So again, supply is what we need when we need it. Creative ideas, inspiration, people to help you, support in whatever way you need it. But again, capital B-U-T, as Joel said, we are the inlet and outlet of supply. It's not a one-way street. To really experience the flow of supply, we have to give, be, and do for others. Giving and receiving are the same thing. They are the same thing. So I want to share my experiences of supply from the past week with you, because it was just wonderful. Anyway, I think I already let you know that. So the first example, it started like the weekend before last, so the weekend preceding last week, when I had absolutely nothing cooking in my head to talk about on my show for Tuesday last week. Nothing. And that doesn't happen often. But I knew rather than to struggle with it, I just asked Serena to replay my show with CA, which was a great show, a great show. So, as I said, not having any idea or inspiration doesn't happen often. But when it does, wisdom says, agree with your adversary and just take a break. So I did. And that was the right decision. And I knew it the minute I made it. And I sent a note to Serena on Monday morning. And I knew it because I felt good about it. But then later on in the day, last Monday, I got an email from the tree service that I use saying that their crew would be at my house Tuesday morning, mid-morning, to deep root water all the trees and shrubs, give the maple an iron infusion, and fertilize the lawn. Tuesday, mid-morning, is when I do this show. Now, I have like a contract, not really a contract, but I sign up for services every year. And I don't, you know, it's like the deep root watering or deep root fertilization happens in the spring, summer, and fall. Wide open. You never know when it's going to be. But John, the guy that owns the company, puts the schedule together and the routes that they're on, you know, and lets us know, the customers know, the day before they do the service. And there's really no option to change it. None at all. So they finish my yard and they go to my neighbor's. And so I know that that was another reason that I was inspired to take a break from the show. Why I really didn't have anything. I nothing had me lit up to talk about, lit up in a good way. So, of course, they got here about 11 Mountain Time, my time, is when this show starts. And it took about 45 minutes because they went to all the trees, they deep root watered all the trees and did their whole service. And so they were here about 45 minutes, which would have been pretty much the whole show. And they worked all over the yard. And Grace, my little Bichon, would have just gone nuts because she could hear them working and they talk. And so she would have been pacing in here. I keep her in my office with me when I do the show, and she's laying on her bed sleeping. But she would have gone nuts. She would have just been that tense, nervous energy, and I would have been totally distracted, and it would not have been fun or professional. So all of that was orchestrated by God. All of that was absolute supply and me being provided for in action through that whole thing. Here's the second example from last week of supply and being supported by Spirit. So I asked Scott, my nephew, if he was interested in, you know, in doing the sprinklers and if he could do it last week. He's busy. He's a contractor. He's self-employed. He's a one-man show. He's in a lot of different places. So I was really hoping that maybe he could take one day and come and do it. And again, that's me assuming it could be done in one day. But there's still a little more to be done. But because as he was working on the sprinklers, he was cleaning out the flower beds so that he could get to the sprinklers. And the idea is to make sure the sprinklers were efficient. So that needed to be cleared out in order to really test them properly and position them properly. Properly. I can speak English. So he was raking the leaves and stuff out from around the plants and where the sprinklers were going to go. So finally, it just dawned on me that I should just ask him if he wanted to do the yard cleanup. Well, if he could do it, because again, he's busy and he's just, you know, he's hustling all the time because He's self-employed, and anybody who's self-employed knows what that's like. So I asked him. I asked him if he wanted to do the yard cleanup, and he said, well, he was pretty much already doing it, so yeah. And it was just so funny. I mean, it was like literally a tap on my shoulder, like, why'd you ask him to just do it? So it just, it, again, it's not a concentrated thing. So it gets spread out a little bit. And now it's spread out because it became like probably at least double the work, if not more, than just getting the sprinkler system in order. But, the thing about Scott is he's just meticulous. He does everything right. And everything is clean. He doesn't cut corners. He doesn't rush through. And even though you'd like to have it done quicker, it's done right and it's beautiful and it's going to work. So the biggest thing about Scott is I love him. He's family and I love supporting him in his business. So it was just a joy to have him say he would just go ahead and get the cleanup done. And actually, my initial plan was when Scott was done with the sprinklers, I was going to have my yard guy, who I had worked for on the house, on the yard for years and years. I was going to schedule it with him, but I needed to wait till the sprinklers were done to do it. So now they're both being done at the same time. And there's another example of supply. What is needed as it's needed. And, in that whole process, because I was thinking, if he can come and devote a day or 2 days, he'll have it done and then it gets spread out. That was also an opportunity for me to detach because there's no race going on here. I mean, it's not like I'm hosting a wedding over the weekend or something out in my yard. It's still early spring. It's just, it's like, okay, I have a list. This is what I want to get done, so let's get it done. So it was just kind of a opportunity to cool my jets and just be in it, be in the flow, observe, and go along with it. And that's it. It was just great. It was just really great. And the whole week went like that. And here's my third example of supply, big example of supply. So I wanted to find a spiritual discussion group. This is we're out of the yard now and inside. A spiritual discussion group that meets in person. I talk to people all day. I love my work and I love my clients, but I've been missing the energy of being with other people. And so I wanted to find like-minded people and just have some exchange of energy in person. Spirituality is my passion. Specifically, non-dualism and comparative religion and mysticism. They are my bliss. I study, I listen, I read, I experience, I realize, and I share. That's my work. That's my dharma. So I was really looking for people who talk about that kind of stuff. And I didn't know what else to do, but Google it. Google. God bless Google. So I did, and I found a few groups. But the one that really stood out was Unity. And Unity was founded by Charles and Mildred, not, I'm sorry, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore in 1889. And it was part of the New Thought movement. So they are phenomenal teachers. With Charles has volumes of books that he wrote. And his book Prosperity is incredible. But they were New Thought teachers, and the New Thought movement was based in Christianity, but limitless, original Christianity. So it has a Christian base, but now It is completely non-denominational. Their basic principles are, there is one power and one presence, which is the source of all. There is no other enduring power. This power is benevolent and present everywhere. We are spiritual beings created in the image and likeness of our source. This spirit lives itself as each person. Therefore, all people are inherently divine. And they go on from there. But those two, I was caught at those two. I was hooked. So that really resonated with me. And I remembered my mom. My mom had gone to Unity years and years and years ago. And she still got the little booklet, the little monthly booklet that, so she must have continued to donate, I assume, to Unity and have a membership. Because she got the little monthly booklets that are just full of like a daily affirmation, daily prayer. And so I thought, okay, I really wanted to go to a service. They have a service on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. And I decided that I was going. But in looking more at them, well, the other thing too that's cool about Unity is Unity Denver is like 15 minutes away from my house, not even. So, you know, as I looked further into them and on their website, I found that they have a lot of other things to offer that they offer on an ongoing basis. And one of the things is yoga classes for trauma and grief. So I registered for the class for tomorrow morning. That class is every Wednesday. So I registered for the class tomorrow morning, and I'm really looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to it. So I was telling, you know, as Scott's working on the lawn and I was talking to him, I told him about it. Because Scott and I do sessions for Scott, and we talk about spiritual stuff all the time. And right now he's reading the Bhagavad Gita, Eknath Ishwaran's version of it, and telling me how much he's enjoying it. So, you know, we always talk about stuff. We have great conversations. And then I told him about Unity, and I said, I'm going to go on Sunday. And he goes, are you really? And I said, yeah, you want to go? And he said, yeah. And so he came with me. He went with me to the church service. And it was an absolutely wonderful experience. It was just a wonderful experience. Now, personally, I have an aversion to church. I do. I've had it for many years because I've experienced many churches. And the ones that I experienced primarily were born-again Christian churches and Christian ministries. And I don't know. I just, you know, it's like, oh, go to church. Oh, my stomach kind of starts to get tight, you know. And I thought, no, this sounds so different. And it really was different. And I felt completely comfortable pretty much from the minute I sat down. Well, from the minute we were greeted by this lovely lady at the welcome desk, she was just lovely. So it was so bright and uplifting. The whole thing from beginning to end was just bright and uplifting. But here's the absolute jewel of it. This is the thing that makes me absolutely know that it was a demonstration of supply, a massive kiss on the cheek from God. Because, you know, as I said a minute ago, my bliss is studying and teaching comparative religion, mysticism, and non-dualism. So the woman who's the spiritual teacher, spiritual leader, her name is Trish something, welcomed everyone and said, because it was spring break, that the schedule had changed slightly, and she was going to be with the children that day. She was going to go in the children's ministry part. But a woman named Sarah was going to do the service. So after they sang a little bit and just started out, they have all the kids come up front and they sing and they bless the kids and then send the kids off to their rooms. And Sarah came up and she started by saying that God is one And everything that is God. And she proceeded to talk about how that is known known is not a good enough word, known and demonstrated in different religions. So she talked about Buddhism, Hinduism, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. And she shared prayers and chants and practices from each religion, meditation practice, just a mindfulness practice from a Buddhist teacher. And I mean, that couldn't have been better. That could not have been better for me. I felt like it was just for me. I think in the back of my head, I'm going, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God, because it was just absolutely phenomenal. And I think probably everyone there loved it as much as I did. Scott really enjoyed it. And the thing about Sarah is that she had a very playful spirit, and she was as funny as she was brilliant. So it was an absolute delight to sit there and have that experience. And of course, that was just God and supply, and letting me know that from the thought that was in my head to see if I could find a spiritual discussion group, to ending up sitting at Unity for the church service last Sunday morning, was all part of the plan. It was all part of the flow that thankfully I followed my intuition and got there. I mean, that's the thing, we're constantly being supported. Are we available to it constantly? No. And that's not making a negative judgment. We're not. We get caught up in what we're doing. It takes, I think, a conscious desire and a conscious effort to just be in that flow. But anyway, back to church. After church, Scott and I went to lunch, and we just had a great conversation. And after I got home, I sort of hit a wall. I mean, it was the weirdest thing. I just hit a wall. All of a sudden, I just felt strange. And I intended to be online for calls, get back home and sign on for the afternoon into the evening, as I always do. But I really wasn't present to do that. And if I'm not present and neutral, I'm not signing on, because I'm not in the right space to help my clients. And I'm sitting there going, I'm trying to figure out what the heck happened. Why was just flying high? And then all of a sudden I realized, oh yeah, this is resistance. This is the stuff I talk about all the time. The stuff that comes up when we move out of the ego's comfort zone. Happens all the time. And it's the opportunity to take a look at it, realize what it is, don't resist the resistance, and just go with it. So once more, I just agreed with my adversary and I didn't push it. So all in all, last week was sort of weirdly floaty, just being in that flow, like really in that flow, like every day, which was really cool. But again, kind of floaty, because I wasn't, it was a productive week. It was busy. It was a great week, but there was no struggle. I did what was in front of me in the moment. And I've been experiencing that floatiness lately more and more, on and off. And so I decided to just observe and go along with it. I don't know, quote unquote, I don't know, three magic words, was sort of the theme of the week. And as always, it worked like magic. I don't know what's on tap for today. I don't know, but that which lives me does. And I relinquish all power, control, and responsibility for everything to everything. And then You get out of the way, and here comes this and this and this and this to help you, to support you, and to just bless you. To just bless you, because God is love, and God loves us and loves through us. So just to kind of wrap this up, I had another kind of realization. And this too, I think, falls under the heading or topic of supply. You know, 2 weeks ago, I'd spent 4 weeks last month. I know it's still, this is the last day of last month, 4 weeks in March, with, you know, going through the four agreements, using the four agreements as kind of like a springboard for the topic of the show, as the topic of those shows, and then bringing in information from other teachers that supported that, looking at each one in a different way. And it was just a blast. I absolutely loved doing it. But 2 weeks ago was the last one. I wrapped up the series of shows that day. And the last of the four agreements is always do your best. So, and Don Miguel Ruiz wrote the four agreements, and he wrote, always do your best. You know, he said, regardless of the circumstance or how you might be feeling, just do your best. But also realizing that your best is constantly changing, because life is constantly changing. And depending on how you're feeling, maybe you didn't get enough sleep, whatever, your best is going to be not always the same quality. And I kept thinking about that. You know, that just kept spinning around in my head, because it's like, I know there's something else here. You know, I know there's something, there's a whole, like a space here, like a puzzle piece missing that I couldn't let it go. You know, I needed to find out exactly what that was. So I kept thinking about it, and it expanded for me based on my experience of last week. So, you know, I would have thought previously, I would have thought that it would be me doing my best to do my show last week. But that wasn't so. If I'd struggled and forced something into being, it would have sounded forced and passionless. I love what I teach, and inspiration fuels what I talk about. And without that, it would just be flat. And I would not, and that would not be me doing my best. It wouldn't have. It wouldn't have. And it wouldn't have been beneficial to those who listened to me. So it also would not have been me doing my best if I had resisted the resistance and been online for calls on Sunday. That wouldn't be me doing my best. Both of those experiences gave me a better understanding of what doing my best is. And I was totally at peace with both of those decisions. Both when I decided not to do my show, and when I decided I'm not going to go online today. It's just not, it doesn't make sense. I felt great. I was totally at peace with both decisions, which was confirmation that I was on track. So, you know, I think that intuition, along with integrity, plays a big part in discerning what your best is. I really do. It's not just, oh, I've got to do this, so I'm going to do it. You know, no, there's so much more to it. I mean, that's really black and white surface. But in this case, it just proved to me to be a very much deeper agreement than I had given it, than I knew. Not that I'd given it credit for it, that sounded bad, than I knew. But because intuition is a big part of it. And intuition is also an integral part of being in flow, along with surrender. You surrender, I don't know how to do this, I don't know how to live this day, and you follow your intuition. Even though the energy last week felt weirdly floaty, because I'm like going, wow, this is interesting. It was very productive. And it was because I got out of the way. I got out of the way and I didn't struggle. I just went along. And again, through surrender, through I don't know, everything shows up exactly in perfect timing and in the perfect way. So I think that completes our circle today because we're at the end of the show. And I hope that was beneficial to you. You've been listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. We're here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way you listen to the world. I wish you a very, very blessed week. And please stay tuned for Katie Weaver. Bye, everyone. Have a good day.